And raised in Waukesha. He did his first hunting and fishing right here. Now he hunts the world and cooks it up deliciously, featured as the Midwestern host of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Joe Clayfish was raised in the Shaw.
A couple extra pounds never really hurt, 'cause a country boy is all I'll ever be.
Wisconsin, you're listening to 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw. This is Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish.
Man, am I jacked for tonight's show.
I'll tell you what, when you have the opportunity in your life to meet some pretty fantastic people and learn from them, it is incredibly valuable,
especially in the world of the outdoors and the provider lifestyle.
And nobody encompasses that, and nobody has made the outdoors more of a large part of their life and successfully done that as one of the most watched, paid attention to biggest celebrities in the waterfowl industry. And it's just a blessing to know the guy. And when I promised you national and local celebrities on the show, today we're going to deliver on that. Chad Belding, the host of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel, is joining us today from Nevada. He's just got done hunting the entire waterfowl season, and he's back in the saddle. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming and joining us today. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my buddy Joel. Glad to be here. Appreciate you having us on.
The first thing I want to cover with you is, you know, I'm not going to give it away exactly. You're younger than me, but, you know, we've been at this for a while. And
tell me what was the initial experience in your life that got you into the outdoors, into waterfowl hunting, and what got you to say that this isn't just something I do, I want to make it a lifestyle.
I mean, I grew up in the outdoors. My dad was an avid mule deer hunter, antelope hunter, elk hunter, chucker hunter. Chucker's a partridge out west here that makes its home in the rim rocks of northern Nevada. But there wasn't a whole lot of waterfowl in my upbringing or my childhood, meaning that, you know, we live in a desert area of Nevada. We have some wetlands, don't get me wrong, and it was pretty limited to hunting some Canada geese in the southeast part of my hometown of Reno, Nevada. My Uncle Mel had some good friends with some farming operations. But it was different hunting with Uncle Mel because, you know, just like my dad, it was their way or the highway. And they'd set up and they'd kill some geese that were coming in. But I wasn't really learning the culture of waterfowling like I was learning the Western big game culture. My Uncle Mel's a hell of a sheep hunter and a heck of a duck hunter and a heck of a goose hunter, but I don't think that I really took a knack of it until I was 26 years old. I was invited on a duck hunting trip with some college baseball buddies of mine, and we went to a place in kind of northeastern Nevada on the I-80 corridor, and it was called the Sleeper Mine. And what it was a gold mine that would have runoff water, excess water that would run down and flood the sagebrush, and those mallard ducks and puddle ducks would get in there and eat the seeds of the sagebrush and the different flowers or plants or forage that was grown in that part of the desert. And it just took me one group of gadwalls, like six or seven gadwalls flew over and were going straight away from us. And my buddy Jim hit a call, and they hit that wind and spun on a dime, and I was just like, damn it, man. I never had that feeling seeing a mule deer through binoculars. And I love shooting antelope. I love eating. I love it all. But I just never really got that feeling from any other hunting or fishing experience. And to this day, now in my mid-40s, I still don't get it. A lot of people ask me, you know, why don't you deer hunt more? And I watch guys like Waddell or Nugent or Shockey, and they love it. They absolutely, and I respect it, and I love all animals, and I love all forms of hunting as long as it's legal and ethical. But you could show me a 400-inch bull elk up in the trees, and we have big elk out here, and my brothers love chasing them. And I could be walking at that bull elk with a bow and arrow or a 270 rifle, scoped rifle, and one mallard duck just has to cup up 50 yards or 100 yards or half a mile to my left, and I'll never look at that elk again. And I think that I think that people have a hard time realizing the power of waterfowl until they really see it and get underneath it. But it was that hunt with Jim Ray and John Sullivan and some of my buddies at the Sleeper Mine in northeastern Nevada that showed me the power of mallard ducks and the majesty of mallard ducks. And that took me to get a shotgun. And I was like, I need a waterfowl shotgun. I can't use this old wood gun that I chased Chucker with in the Rim Rocks. I need this, and I need a call, and I need a dog, and I need a jacket, and I need waders, and I need this. And I went nuts. I was like, my type A personality took over, and sure enough, that brought me to competition calling. And I'm a very competitive person by nature. Love competition, whether it's ping pong or bowling or baseball or wrestling, whatever it is. And I started competing in duck and goose calling competitions, getting my butt kicked daily. I'd travel all over the country, all over Canada. And I wasn't afraid to enter, but man, it was not demoralizing, but it was so intimidating getting on stage after Tim Grounds or Fred Zink or Kelly Powers and all these guys that were nemesis of mine. And I finally started to improve, and I would get invited to bigger competitions. And I remember the 2005 Avery International in Fort Collins, Colorado. It was invite only, the top 25 callers in the country through a point system. And I was there, and I was in the top three going into the last round. And to this day, I don't know how I didn't get at least runner-up. I ended up falling to fourth behind Sean Hammock and Kelly Powers, and I believe it was Hunter Grounds at the time. But I went back and watched, and I'm like, I blew the same routine. I don't know how I failed so many points. But at that time, it was too late already. I had already accomplished what I knew that God put me on that competition stage for, and it was to develop a network. And I had met Fred Zink, and I had met Tom Matthews, who was the founder and CEO of Avery Outdoors with his partner, Alan Hughes. And I met Bill Cooksey, and I met all these different people that I was like, man, this industry is unreal. This is an awesome, awesome industry. So, you know, I'm long-winded, as you know, Joel, but it took me to a friendship for with Fred Zink, and he took me on the road with him. And that was kind of like the beginning stages of what would become Bandit and the Fowl Life and where we sit now.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. I got to spend some time with you. You guys, your crew came to Wisconsin, and we goose hunted several days in a row. Absolutely gave it our all. And we cooked. I mean, some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life. We cooked every single day. And what blew my mind is the network you have created, how hard you work all the time. When did you get the idea, and how did you come up with the conception that you wanted to do this as not only a passion and a love, but a career and a job? And how did you make that transition? Because, you know, every guy out there who hunts says, man, I'd love to be on an outdoor TV show, or I'd love to be in the outdoor industry, or I'd love to be a guide or an outfitter. But the reality of it is, that isn't something that happens, is it? That's something you work to create.
Yeah, it's a, you know, people say, how do I get a job in the industry? I won my state duck calling competition, or I did this. I shot a limit of mallards. Look at my picture. And I'm like, that's awesome. It's great that you have done that. But to be in the business and to build the network, it takes a lot of dedication and obviously passion. And the biggest word is grit and tenacity and knowing how to accept no and how to get the ability to go and fight for more when you do get told no. And I think that's the entrepreneurial spirit of America that we touch on, and that I think you're born with it. I think you can go to business school until you're blue in the face and learn all of the different levels of business and business management and finance and accounting and this and that. But until you get in a room across the table in a negotiation, the art of negotiation, I think about my life, and that's how I live my life. I negotiate with partners. I negotiate with the network. I negotiate with my friends to see who gets to set up the decoy spread and who gets the concealed blinds that day. And then in the end, I negotiate with my dog to go out and get a duck, and I negotiate with the wild duck and the wild goose. It's all a negotiation. So when I had that mindset, I said, I like this idea of what Freddie's got going on. This is cool, man. He's traveling with this trailer, and he taught me how to hide and hide cameraman, and how he just, Fred Zink is a genius, man. When it comes to laying out the protocol for being a waterfowl guru and knowing every single thing there is about ducks and geese, their feeding patterns, their mating patterns, their habits, their instincts, everything, nobody is more qualified than Fred Zink. There might be biologists out there that know ducks better, but when it comes to applying it to the hunt, I've never met anybody as strong as Fred Zink. So I got a firsthand experience learning in college education, traveling in the truck north of the border in Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Ontario and Alberta, and then all over the continental United States. And that's how it happened. That's how I was on a trip with Fred Zink, and I met Justin Tackett and Shannon Nardi, and he had a show. Justin had a show that Shannon produced on at that time, was called the Versus Network, and it was called Ducks Unlimited Water Dog. And I was up there in Saskatchewan talking with Justin. He's like, "Where do you live?" And I said, "In Reno, Nevada." He's like, "Man, we've never filmed out west." And Shannon's like, "No, we haven't." And I said, "Well, I hunt Idaho and Oregon and California and Nevada, and it's all sagebrush and it's all flooded weird marshes. And you wouldn't think of ducks when you think of Nevada or Idaho. You think of mule deer and mountain lions and antelope and all of the different big game species." And I said, "We want to come." So I put together a little trip. We went to Oregon, Nevada, and the Boise River in Idaho, and we put together some amazing TV episodes. Yeah. And at the end of that, about 45 days after, their producer called me. His name was Mike Devine. He owned Devine Productions in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he asked me, he said, "I really liked you on camera. Would you ever be interested in doing a show about you?" And it came down. There's more to the story, but that was the beginning stages that took me to the process of going to SHOT Show, talking to partners, using my network that I built in the duck and goose calling competition arena and the stage. And now I was able to go apply my knowledge of communication and negotiation with that network.
And that's the incredible story. And when we come back from break, I want to talk to you about when it became the provider lifestyle.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. This is America, and a country boy is good enough for me, son.